Open your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Let's pray. Father, so thankful, Father God, for your love towards us, Lord. And I'm thankful that we as a people can say that you are more than enough for us, Lord. Every need, every challenge that we have in our lives. But Father, this morning, as we come to your word, we need you to drop this into our hearts so deep, Lord, that it changes us. Father, I pray over this word, the anointing of the Spirit of God to be upon it, Lord, as it goes forth. Father, anoint us, Lord, to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I, as many of you know, like to garden. And I start fairly early in the year setting out plants inside my house. Not setting out plants. Planting the seeds inside my house that will ultimately be my plants that I transplant into the garden. I love to do that. It's just I set out every year to have an amazing garden, and it's amazing how sometimes I don't have the time to have an amazing garden. But nevertheless, my garden, yesterday, I got to tell y'all, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I went out to my New Mexico green chili plants, and I picked like 7 green chilies that were 11, 12 inches long. They were huge. Ugh. We got them in and roasted them, and we ate them with our meal. One of them that I got a hold of was so hot, my nose ran, but it was awesome. You see, whenever... there's kind of one of these basic rules that applies to gardening. Whenever you plant your garden, you've got to plant what you want to harvest. Y'all there? And I'll be honest with you, this year I didn't set out any eggplant or Brussels sprouts or rhubarb, because I have no interest in those vegetables whatsoever. And you go, well, you've never eaten my rhubarb, and I'm thankful I haven't. And so, you know, there's people say, you know, Brussels sprouts are great. You know, you gotta eat them like I fix them. And I've ate them just about every way from so many different people, and it still tastes exactly like a dirty sock whenever I'm chewing on it. But you see, whenever I went in my garden this year, I planted the things that I wanted to harvest. Does that make sense? I put the seed in the ground inside my house, and I planted those seeds very carefully, the things that ultimately I wanted to harvest. So this brings us to our text this morning. This is Galatians chapter 6, and verse number 6 is where I want to begin reading. It says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Now, there are certain laws that govern our universe. And I'm not talking about laws that were made at Washington, D.C. Are y'all here? I'm talking about God's laws, things that God put together. Perhaps you all have heard of the law of gravity. If you... top rung of a ladder and you step off, the law of gravity is going to assure you that you will hit the ground once you step off. Amen. Several years ago, I was teaching the kids, and I was on a platform such as this, about this high, maybe a little bit higher, and I accidentally did something, lost my balance, and poof, right off into the floor. And the kids are all out there. They thought I did it on purpose, so they're all laughing, and it hurt, man. I got up and kind of staggered back up on the stage, and some of the workers were... but it was good. It was the last service of the day, and I went home, and Renee nursed my wounds after that. But the law of gravity applied. I stepped off the platform and I hit the ground. Does that make sense? This is a law, folks, that we just got through reading. The law of sowing and reaping. It's a law. Amen. It's just like the law of gravity. What you sow, that you will also reap. And this morning as I began, I said that if you're going to plant a garden, you got to plant whatever it is that you want to harvest. The same basic rules apply in gardening as in our soul. Amen? If we want to reap good stuff in our soul, then we've got to plant good stuff. And so this morning, as we consider the passage that we just got through reading with this agricultural theme, it seems like, I want to just kind of simply take a look at these other things in order from the beginning to the middle to the end. In your garden and in your life, if you begin with planting, the very first thing that you've got to do is sow your seed. First thing. That happens. I got it set on my calendar. I've counted out the amount of weeks until I can set out my garden. I know how long it takes my seeds to germinate and come up and get to be these healthy little plants before I set them out. I grow them inside my house in a grow tent. And it's kind of cool. It's all set up and got a big light inside of it. And I found out this though through, I ordered off of Amazon, and this is what I found out because I was reading all the reviews. And I was reading people's reviews that really couldn't speak very good English. And whenever I say that is they were raised in the United States, but they just weren't good at English. And this is what I figured out. The people that are most often buying these grow tents are growing marijuana in their house. And that's why they couldn't write a review. So I hope that nobody's tracking these things that come to my house, like UPS men, thinking that I'm growing marijuana, because I'm not. I'm growing New Mexico chili in this thing. Oh, but it's like a drug. No, I needed to choose the right kind of seed, and then I needed to sow that seed. In years past, I've grown a lot of New Mexico green chili here. I've grown some Sandia Hots. They're supposed to be real hot, but they're not as meaty and not as long. And, oh, I've grown Big Jims. You guys all know about Big Jims. Well, of course, these people do right here because they're native New Mexicans. Well, sort of. But anyway, Big Jims, they grow big and they're meaty, but they're just not real hot. But they came out a few years ago with one. It's called the Double Cross. And they cross the Big Jim with a Sandia Hot. So they're big and meaty, and they're also hot. Now see, if you guys get a question on Jeopardy about New Mexico green chili, you'll be able to answer it. So I chose these double cross seeds and I planted them. You've got to sow them in the soil a certain depth, and you've got to keep the soil exactly right. But this is what it says here. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will he also reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You and I today, whether you realize this or not, everywhere we go, we're planting seeds. We're throwing out seeds everywhere we go. We're planting all the time, every day, all day long, we're sowing seeds. And so if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, then you should be sowing seeds that the Holy Spirit supplies you. I have to mail off for these seeds and get them from New Mexico that I plant. But folks, you got to understand, if you want to reap from the spiritual side of things, then you've got to plant seeds that the Holy Spirit provides for you. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I think we ought to get up every morning with the intention of going out and sowing the right kind of seed, because what you sow is going to bring you a harvest. And so in the morning, if you're really conscious about this, you should get out of bed and say, God, today I'd really like a handful of seeds that you want me to go into this community of mine and sow wherever I go. I want your seed, Lord. I don't want seed from some desire that I have in my own life. I want to be planting the seeds from the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, this morning, I know we can easily get sidetracked and we could think, well, I gotta go out and sow a certain amount of seeds, and I gotta do all this stuff for Jesus because my salvation depends on it. This morning, we're gonna understand our salvation doesn't depend on it, because it's for grace we have been saved, not by works. Amen. Not by works that anyone should boast. We sow because we love Jesus. We sow because we love people. Amen? I want to sow something good into the lives of people that are around me. I mean, folks, just do this. Take this opportunity to just write this down in your little booklet and go out and do it. Whenever you go to town, go to stores, go wherever it is you go, besides, well, you can do this at your house, I guess it would be pleasant, but just smile at everybody and say good morning or good afternoon, just at everybody you come in contact with. I've been doing it, and it's amazing at the responses that I get from people. They smile back. And they say something good. I was at Ingle this morning, early. And I went in, and everybody I seen, the lady that made the donuts, because that's what I was after. I said, good morning. It's a great morning. Thanks for making these donuts for us. And man, she just got excited. It is a good morning. It's beautiful outside, she responded. And we had a little conversation. I said, where are the chocolate-covered donuts? I'm on a mission. She said, right over there. I planted some seeds. I could have went in there and go, where's your stupid donuts, woman? Come on. I hadn't had my coffee yet. I still haven't had my coffee. I've been 58 years without having my coffee, so we'll probably never drink coffee. But y'all understand what I'm saying? You see, we need to plant a certain kind of seed, the seed that the Holy Spirit gives us. We have a purpose. I think so often we forget that God has created us with a purpose in mind. He says, I need you to be part of my kingdom. Now, why God would choose to work through humanity baffles me, because I'll be honest with you, I think angels would be a lot better at it than us. Come on. I mean, if he sent an angel down here, don't you think angels could get this place straightened out pretty quick? But he didn't choose angels. He chose us. And this is what I'm going to tell you. Even though I think angels would be better at it, obviously I'm wrong, because God never makes a mistake, and he sent human beings to do it. And so we've been created with a purpose. Our purpose is to go forth and spread out these seeds, these good works which God has saved us to do. Those who have not put their trust in Jesus Christ, they plant different kinds of seeds. Amen? Those that have put their trust in Jesus are supposed to be planting those seeds that the Holy Spirit gives us. But people who have not yet believed on Jesus Christ, they're putting a whole different kind of seed out there. Instead of pleasing the Spirit as they plant, they are pleasing the sinful nature. They're pleasing the sinful nature, it says, to gratify the desires that rage within those. Those who plant this kind of seed are not concerned about a harvest. See, somebody that's out there, all they're doing is planting seed that gratifies their desires. They're not concerned about a harvest. You see, they have their eye on just seed time. They've gotten the seed that's easy and the seed that is expedient, and they've planted it. Because I'll be very honest with you, probably the best time of gardening is whenever I'm planting my seeds. There's not one weed in those little bitty cups. Y'all there? And man, it's easy to water them too, because all I got to do is just take a pitcher of water and they go, and it's done. Plug the light in, it's on a timer. Are you all there? But man, the other day my son, I think he thought I was going crazy. I'm out in the garden and I have a mop and a bucket and I'm mopping in my garden. And he comes out, he said, Dad, what are you doing? I said, I'm mopping the garden. Some of y'all are looking at me real funny. I had weed killer on that mop because I couldn't spray, and I was mopping those weeds, and it worked, man. Kill them stupid things. You see, what happens though is a lot of times people are just concerned about planting the seed, but how many of y'all know there's more to do after you plant the seed? Amen? And so what individuals that are trying to gratify the desires of their sinful nature, they plant these seeds and they're not concerned about a harvest. But I got to tell you, if you plant seeds, you've got to be concerned about a harvest. Because I'm telling you, I don't want to reap of the flesh. I want to reap of the Spirit. Amen? Because I've had a taste of what the flesh brings to my life, and it's a bitter taste. In fact, many times whenever I'm praying for somebody that's lost, this is what I'll pray about their lives. I say, Lord, I pray that whatever they're into right now just begins to be bitter in their mouths. If they're drinking alcohol, I pray God one of these days that that alcohol begins to be bitter to them. If they're living a life of sin in one way or another, I pray God that it brings back to them a bitter taste in their mouth. Because the Bible tells us that sin is pleasurable for a season. So man, there are people out there all the time. They're throwing out seeds and they're throwing out seeds and they're throwing out seeds and they're not one bit concerned with the harvest that's going to be coming in. Their eye is not on seed time. They've planned this big party for planting day. But the party has become more important to them than the harvest. And you see, you and I, we should be more concerned about the harvest than we are on the planting. God's grace is totally and completely in His hands. And I believe that He is always ready to forgive us, even whenever His own followers plant the wrong kind of seeds. Because if anyone is like me in this room, you've probably planted a few seeds that you didn't need to be planting. Amen? And so I'm thankful for that grace. But instead of planting the seeds I shouldn't be planting, I should be waking up in the morning and saying, God, I need a couple of bucketfuls of the seeds that you want me to plant. I want Holy Spirit seeds in my life so that I can scatter them out wherever I go. You see, what we plant will often have an earthly time of harvest. My garden here in just a couple of months is probably going to be pretty much over with. And all my peppers will be frozen in the freezer, waiting for those moments where we break them out. Yes, it'll be good. But it takes a while. Whenever I first set my plants out, I didn't see any peppers on them. In fact, all I seen was dirt. And I watered them, fertilized them, pulled the weeds, mopped the weeds. That was awesome. I still didn't get any. I've only got just a handful of peppers off of them to begin with, but boy, there's a lot on them that are fixing to be there. You see, we often plant seeds and they have this earthly timeline, maybe just a few minutes, maybe an hour. But you and I have got to make a decision many times in our life. If we're going to sow seeds, we're going to do the necessary steps no matter how long it takes to bring about a harvest. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, don't lay up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves can break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. You see, we have no idea many times whenever we're planting those seeds that there will not be an immediate harvest. Does that make sense? In fact, there may not be a harvest 3 months down the road or 4 months down the road. In fact, there'll be very, very many times whenever you're planting those seeds that you will never see a harvest until you get to heaven. Are y'all there with me? You'll never see it. You'll never see a harvest. You'll go around planting seeds and planting seeds because these are the seeds that the Holy Spirit is giving you. You will be speaking words of life into people's lives. You'll be praying over people. You'll be awoken by the Spirit of God in the middle of the night and you'll intercede for somebody. You'll be planting seeds. You'll be ministering into lives, touching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you'll never have an opportunity this side of heaven to see the result that it makes. But I will tell you, the Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures that are in heaven. You see, that's the ultimate goal of a believer, is not so much to see the harvest here on this earth, but folks, to see the harvest whenever we get to heaven. I got to tell you, I think heaven's going to be exciting. I think we're going to get to see things that we never dreamed, because whenever we drop a offering into an offering a plate and it goes its way, it goes to Africa or it goes to Europe or it goes to Asia or it goes to Michigan to support the outreach that we have to the Islamic people there. We don't see that, but I tell you that God takes those seeds and he spreads them out, and one day we will see what it is that our seeds have done. I am storing up treasures in heaven. So we got to sow the seeds. We got to have Holy Spirit seeds, and we got to sow them everywhere we go. Because what we sow, that we will also reap. The next thing you got to do, whenever you've planted, you got another job. You got to tend the plants. Thank you, Ron. You got to tend the plants. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Another translation says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. How many of you know that if there are a few things that happen between planting and harvesting? Anyone that's ever planted a seed in the ground in a garden knows that there's something that happens. You got to weed, you got to water, you got to defend against disease, you got to defend against bugs. And I mean, here we live in North Carolina and we plant gardens here that, I mean, you never have to water. Man, there's this water comes out of the sky every day, it seems like. But folks, I used to raise gardens in New Mexico where you had to water or they died, period. I mean, you constantly had to water there. You got to water them. You got to weed them. You got to kill the bugs. You got to do so many things. Sometimes it seems like there is a long time before you see the harvest. And sometimes the effort that you have to put into it seems overwhelming. Because not only does a lot of rain grow great plants for your garden in North Carolina, but it grows great weeds too. I've pulled the weeds next to my pepper plants several times because I couldn't mop right there. But yesterday while I was picking these peppers, just a few peppers, I looked down and there's a weed that's 6 inches taller than my pepper plant. So I said, you're dying right now. And I pulled it up and I stomped it good. I really didn't do all that. But I pulled it because you see, what we plant, we've got to tend. We've got a van ministry that goes out every week and picks up kids and brings them in. And we've got a bunch of our kids here at the church. And I teach youth on Wednesday nights, and we've got children's church on Sunday mornings, and we got Royal Rangers and Impact Girls Club. And I mean, now, can I just be honest with y'all, and y'all quit being so judgmental of me? But there are some times whenever I go home from teaching kids that I wish we didn't have any kids. Thank you. Thank you. Now, my prayer is on Wednesday nights, whenever I go home feeling that way, that by the next Wednesday night, I'm ready to have kids again. Are y'all there? Doesn't just happen with kids we teach at church. It happens with kids at our home. I mean, there's many times I was, you know, looking on the internet to see where I could sell these little critters we were raising. Sometimes there's a lot of effort that goes into children's ministry, but I'll be very honest with you. I believe in children's ministry because we are raising the next generation. We are raising the future pastors and prophets and teachers and evangelists, the future missionaries that are going to spread out all over this world. And what they get from us, folks, is so very vital to their existence as God has called them into these various ministries, man. I'll be honest with you. One of these days, I may be walking into a doctor's office and it's some kid that I brought up in children's church. And I'm going to be real thankful that I did a good job. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of weeding and there's a lot of watering and there's a lot of defending against bugs and diseases. Do you know how many times I tell these kids, you got to get off that stupid stuff on the internet that you've been on? That's like killing bugs. I wish there was some kind of weed killer I could mop on their phone. Paul says, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. We cannot give up on these kids that are coming up behind us. It's so wonderful to be a pastor of a church that believes in children's ministry and it believes in youth ministry. Whenever I come to you and I say, we need almost $3,000 for youth scholarships to send these kids to youth camp, we get it. It's just crazy. I mean, y'all believe in it. And so you put your pocketbooks behind what it is you believe, so that no kids have to go to camp and pay for their registration fees. That is such an awesome thing. Paul says if we don't give up, we'll reap a harvest. Paul says if we don't give up, we'll reap a harvest. You see, my goal as the youth guy is that one of these days, these kids that we're raising up in youth ministry right now, I want to have the opportunity to marry them. I mean that. That's what I keep speaking over their lives all the time. I said, man, one of these days, you're going to meet a man, and that man is going to be full of Jesus. And you're going to fall in love, and pretty soon you're going to be in my office for premarital counseling. And pretty soon you're going to be standing at the altar, and I'm going to be pronouncing you husband and wife. That for me would be reaping a harvest of all those times I wanted to twist their little heads off and spit in the hole, but I taught them about Jesus. I taught them about the love of Christ. Are y'all there with me? And one day, man, they come dragging in a whole van load of kids and they go, these are my youngins right here, and they're all serving Jesus. That right there is what I want to reap. And I got to tell you, if we don't get tired here and we don't give up here, we will reap a harvest. Let me read you this little story. It's a great one. Norman Geisler, a child, went to VBS because he was invited by some neighbor children. He went back to the same church for Sunday school classes for 400 Sundays. That's almost 8 years. Each week he was faithfully picked up by a bus driver. Week after week he attended church but never made a commitment to Christ. Finally, during his senior year of high school, after being picked up for church over 400 times, he committed his life to Christ. What if the bus driver had given up on Norman at 395? What if the bus driver had said, this kid is going nowhere spiritually. Why waste any more time on him? I mean, enough said. I know that the summer or the growing season is long. Oh, so long sometimes. I know that the harvest seems so far off, and many times we struggle to see the little flowers that are produced as the fruit begins to bud. But if we won't give up, the harvest is promised. Listen to me. Just like the law of gravity, the law of seed time and harvest is promised. If we keep faithfully pouring into these kids, we will have a harvest. Don't give up. Don't give up. Do the right thing as long as we have opportunity. So whenever we get to the sowing and then the tending part of it, the last part is where everybody starts smiling, because that's the harvest. Finally, we're going to have that harvest. It says here in verse 8, the one who sows to please the sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, we can talk about the harvest in a couple of different frames. First, there is the temporal harvest, the harvest of the here and now. And we get that. We get that. I mean, kids that were coming to youth for a little while, they just didn't want anything to do with me, wouldn't do anything. But now, I mean, the other day, one of them came in and I was standing there and I could see him out of the corner of my eye and I was talking to somebody and pretty soon they just interrupted me and they said, "Hey, I'm standing here because I want my hug." And I go, "Yes." You know? And so I loved on them in Jesus' name. Are y'all there with me? That's temporal. That's here. That's the here and now. We get that. One of these days, whenever we open this baptismal up, I'm going to baptize some kids. I'm praying for their salvation. They need Jesus. I'm going to baptize them. I'm going to get them critters wet. I'm going to hold them under another 4 or 5 seconds longer than I would normally would just because of the pain and suffering that I've gone through. I'm just joking. I'll only do it for 3 seconds, so. Anybody that's lived in this world for any period of time knows that the law of sowing and reaping has an application for the here and now, right now on this earth. We can all name times where it seems like people didn't get what they sowed. Does that make sense? You ever see somebody just live like a heathen and their life turns out pretty good? And you're just thinking, I wish they'd crash and burn. Anybody like that? Anybody ever live your life for Jesus and your washing machine explodes? My ice maker's broke right now. I just went, boom, died at the house. That's a sad day because I believe in ice. I'm living for Jesus. Are y'all following what I'm saying? I mean, we could come up with all kinds of examples about how that the harvest didn't kind of match up with what was sown. That's because we're not looking far enough forward. Does that make sense? Those who have planted seeds of love and concern and all the various things for their fellow men, I would tell you that temporally, those individuals have probably reaped a lot of friends, people that really appreciate them. Those that have planted seeds of hatred and bitterness and envy, they probably harvested a few enemies. Those that have planted seeds of faithfulness to the Lord, I can tell you, even if your washing machine did break down, you still probably got bushels of blessings. I mean, my wife's illness, a lot of times we can get really down and, oh, it's terrible. She's sick. You know, what do we got to be thankful for? But I got to tell you, man, the list of stuff we got to be thankful for is so much longer than the list that kind of stinks. Are y'all there? God, it's always that way. Sometimes we can only see the thing that's bad in our life, but my goodness, we've got so many things to be thankful for. That's why I try to start my day out every day by saying, Lord, I thank you for all the blessings that are on my life. I mean, because there are a lot of blessings. The law of sowing and reaping definitely has consequences here. The law of sowing and reaping definitely has wonderful things and blessings for the here and now. But the main emphasis, I believe, of this text is pointed towards eternity. That's what I think. I think the words don't require a lot of interpretation from me. The one who sows to the flesh reaps destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit receives eternal life. And what it is that we sow to please what it is we sow to the Spirit, first and foremost, is the seeds of putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Man, that was the best seeds I ever sowed whenever I said yes to Jesus and asked Him to come in and forgive my sins and to take His home in my life. Faith makes a change in our life that results in doing good works. Whenever I got a hold of Jesus, there was just something happened on the inside of me and I wanted to do good things for other people. It's just something happened. The more I got a hold of God's word and the more God got a hold of me, the more that I want to do things good for people. I think the primary thing that God is looking for in us, though, is for us to live our lives for Him and to trust Him. to trust him and to trust his plan of salvation through the shed blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross. You see, I believe that's the seed that results in the harvest of eternal life. Eternal life is a good thing. The Bible tells us that this life that you and I are living is like a pot of water that's boiling. And you can see that vapor just for a moment as it rises off of that water as it's boiling. It says it's there 1 second and the next second it's gone. And I can tell you that whenever I was 5, 6, 7 years old, I didn't believe that. But I can tell you now that I'm well into my 40s or 50s, time is going by like a flash. I can tell you whenever I was in school, like maybe 7th grade, school year took forever, summer took longer. Are y'all there? Man, now it seems like God is playing this evil trick on us and he is speeding up time, because now it seems as though a year is something like a couple of months to me a few years ago. Does that make sense? I'm looking at my grandkids. I'm fixing to have a grandkid in double digits. She's going to be a double digit. She's going to be 10. I'm going, how did I get a grandkid that's 10? I'm fixing to have a son that's going to turn 40. Ay, ay, ay. I already have a wife that turned 60. Are y'all there? This life is gone by like a flash. But the Bible tells us that you and I that have accepted Jesus Christ, we've had a John chapter 3 experience. We're going to live forever. Forever. Eternity. I can't even grip it, because everything in my life right now has an ending except for my life. It doesn't end. It goes on forever. No time. Totally disappeared. No one in heaven will be wearing a watch. So if you've spent big money on a big Apple watch, sorry. Should have gave it to missions. That's eternal life. And knowing that eternal life is ours, we should do all in our power to plant the kind of seeds in this life that we want to harvest in the next life. So this morning, I'm going to ask Jared's back there. I guess, Jared, if you'll play this video that I've got. I know some of you know who sang the song, who wrote the song, and there's some controversy around him, but nevertheless, the song speaks volume to us, because we are a people who are waiting patiently here on this earth to one day step into eternity and realize how our seeds affected the lives of people. Amen? So Jared, go ahead.
Dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I have a life that was changed. said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave.
One by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I am a life that was changed.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so
stand with me if you would. Amen. Folks, I don't know what kind of seeds that you're planting, but that's the seeds that my heart wants to plant right there. I want to be rewarded whenever I step into the presence of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, my challenge is that, you know, we plant with the harvest in mind. That's it. We plant with a harvest in mind. The words that I speak, the actions that I take, the places that I go, the ways that I use my finance, I'm planting with a harvest in mind. And I want a good harvest. I don't want to reap things that are bitter. Amen? And so this morning, I just give you a challenge. I receive that same challenge in my life, is to plant the seeds that the Holy Spirit will put in your hands every day to plant if you will allow Him. Say, Lord, I want a handful of seeds this morning so I can go about the life that I'm living and drop seeds everywhere that I feel like one needs to be planted. Let's be seed planters, amen? Let's be seed planters in the way God intended us to be seed planters. There is a purpose for your life. You'll realize it more and more as you plant these seeds, because God will begin to be very specific with the way He wants them planted and where He wants them planted. Father, we love You this morning. And Lord, I thank You for the reminder that You've given us. We are Your hands. We are Your feet. We are Your mouthpieces here on this earth, Lord. And Father, it is Your desire for us to go forth and sow, Lord God, so liberally, Lord, because this is what I know. The more good seeds we put in the ground, the greater the harvest will be. So, Lord, this morning I pray that each of us in this room would begin to so consciously make a decision every day to grab up the seeds that You have for us and to scatter them about in the places that You would have us to. So, Father, I pray over each person in this room, God, help us to look forward to that day that indeed we will reap what we have sown. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks.